Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Hicks, gentlemen moderators, this is really a great time for the truth of God. And I want you to know that I am really sorry that Mr. Hicks has got some problems with his throat. I just wish he'd heal himself. If I ever saw a man snake bit over biblical arguments, he don't have to pick up a serpent. Or he doesn't. He don't either. In the manual of the United Pentecostal Church, dated 1967, it says here that during the last 21 days of the 19th century, a band of earnest, hungry-hearted ministers and Christian workers in Bethel Bible College, Topeka, Kansas, called a fast, praying earnestly for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which to their joyful surprise came upon them in the early hours of the morning on January the 1st, 1900. With the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, were those people Christians before they got that Holy Spirit? In that Bible college and in that Christian work, were they children of God? Not until, according to Pentecostal doctrine, they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Word of the Lord became a new book. That's the problem. Today, the Bible is a new book with a lot of new interpretation and a lot of new doctrine that just wasn't with that truth that God gave the apostles. I tell you tonight, if it's not in the book, you don't need it. Truths which had been hidden for many years were made clear. The year 1914 came the revelation on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful! 1914! The Mormons can make the same claim! The very same claim! Are they inspired of the Holy Spirit? They speak in tongues. They perform miracles. When a Catholic says that they saw the Holy Blessed Virgin Mary with their own eyes, were they correct? Did they see a miracle? Was there an apparition in front of them? Whose testimony are we going to believe? In the year 1914 came the revelation on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do away with the name of God, do away with the name of the Holy Spirit, and have only the name of Jesus. I think that's the most precious name in the New Testament. Along with the name of God and with the name of the Holy Spirit. And they are names. In the book, Jehovah Jesus, the Supreme God, Son of Man, He was in the world. Page 44 says, the Son of God is the first and greatest created being. You talk about theological garbage. It is involved in the working up of things that have no biblical position. I'm not a sign seeker. I don't go around asking people to perform signs for God to perform signs. When I know that God has said there will be no more signs, what I'm doing is asking Mr. Hicks to demonstrate the claim that he makes. And he can't do it. And you know he can't do it. If he can, then let him come up here according to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 and demonstrate with the Spirit and with power. I'll tell you what he is. He's a man with just a word. I don't seek signs. An evil and an adulterous generation in the day of Jesus Christ, they sought for signs, and I tell you, He gave them a sign. Give me a sign, Mr. Hicks. Just one. He gave them the sign of Jonah. Just one sign. Boy, I'd be happy with just one sign tonight. Just one sign. I'm sitting over here sucking on Luden cough drops because I've got a voice problem too. Please. Now, this is all in the interest of truth, and I would not poke fun at this man. I love him, and I love every man and woman in this congregation in the sake of the gospel. But I want to bring some of these points home, and I want to drive some of these truths home. The Bible says in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." I don't believe it. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Mr. Hicks, I want to try you tonight. I want a demonstration tonight. I want you to prove your claims. Catherine Kuhlman goes all over this country. I believe in miracles. What's the difference between her and Mr. Hicks? He believes in miracles. About $2 million a year is the difference. Let's don't blame God for our failures. There are people tonight all over this world who don't understand the Bible. It's because they don't study. And because they don't believe what the Bible says. When the Bible says something, I think we ought to believe it. If God said it, it's true, and we ought to believe it. And when God says that they're going to cease, they're going to vanish, they're going to stop, then we ought to believe it. Did you notice that he didn't ask for one of my charts? I don't know where he's going tonight, but he has beautiful oration. I'd like a copy of that you read earlier. Be good for a funeral service. I'm just asking you tonight to do what you say you can do. And tomorrow night, friends and brethren, if you'll be here, we're going to take Hebrews 10, 9, and 10, and we're going to hang it on 1 Corinthians 13 in a way that you've never heard before. And I guarantee you that it will preach, and it's the truth. He tried to neutralize the argument tonight. Our discussion tonight is not on tongues. Our discussion tonight will be tomorrow night on tongues at signs and wonders tonight, which can include tongues, but we're talking about tongues tomorrow night. Personal testimony. All the mothers that pray over their children and all of those in the hospitals, and I tell you what, friends, if I believed that I could perform miracles in the name of Jesus, if I could lay hands on people, I'd be in every hospital, in every place of nursing home in this country, and I'd be working for the Lord and for the healing of men and women and not in just simply the church building. That's what I do. 20 million people speak in tongues, he claimed. And 19.5 million disagree with him on the subject of the Godhead in the Bible. I want to know something. A man wrote me a letter the other day and he said, "I believe in God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I believe I've been Holy Spirit baptized." Now here's a man who says there is no such thing. In the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he says he's been Holy Spirit baptized. Who am I going to believe? You ought to answer some of these things in your own hearts and in your own minds and in your own consciences. Pat Boone. He sings a good song. But it's not a new song. It's the same old song of mistakes and misunderstanding that's been going on for 100 years in this country. Pat Boone was at one time a member of the Church of Christ. He is no longer fellowshipping the Church of Christ because he was excommunicated, or rather he was disfellowshipped in the state of California by the church there because of the false doctrine that he now espouses. And just because Pat Boone believes it and preaches it, that doesn't make it true. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Man, let me tell you something. We've had other people leave the Church of Christ because they misunderstood and they didn't understand. And let me tell you something, so have you, Mr. Hicks, and they're here tonight. Those who say they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues that now repudiate it. He's now in the preaching school of Churches of Christ. When I preach the gospel, I don't claim any credit. It's not Dan Billingsley asking somebody to believe me. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The Bible says we preach Christ and Him crucified. Let me tell you something. The power in my work and in my message is the power of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of that word. For it is the power of the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23. You know, it's easy to stand and say, well, 120 were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But did he take that chart of mine and say anything about the fact that nobody besides the apostles were spoken of as speaking in tongues? And let me tell you something. Not one time in Acts 2 does it say that any woman spoke in a tongue. And he knows that Acts 2 was not fully the fulfillment of Joel, the second chapter. And he won't get up here on this platform and tell you that it was. He's led by the Spirit. And a while ago, he got up to read Hebrews 10, 9, 10, and 11, and he read Hebrews 9 and 11 and stopped dead. I wonder if that was by the Holy Spirit. Now, anybody can make a mistake. I do. Last night, I said Acts 28, 19, and 20, and that was wrong. And I apologize to this audience for making that miscalculation. Sometimes I get my brain in gear before I get my tongue moving. And I know that's going to be heard from that table. I want to know something, friends, tonight. Who is Alexander Campbell? I don't know a Campbellite in the Church of Christ tonight. I don't know a Campbellite in the Church of Christ tonight, and I've been halfway around the world, and I've never met a Campbellite yet. I don't know anything that we teach or believe or practice that had its beginning in Alexander Campbell's ministry. Write it down. Now, I want my charts, please. Who was baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? The 12 apostles, they were the ones that had received the prompts to be witnesses. Only one of the 120 was chosen to be an apostle. That was Matthias. He was numbered with the 11. Acts 2, 1 through 4, the pronouns refer to the apostles, and any English teacher in this world will tell you that's the truth. The apostles spoke in tongues. Show me in that second chapter of the book of Acts where any woman spoke in tongues. And in Ephesians 5, verse 19, when it says, speak yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that's talking about people in worship. And women are commanded to sing in the worship. But in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 and 4, they are told to keep quiet as preachers. Let not a woman usurp authority over the man, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2. Let your women keep silent in the churches. And that was in the worship service, and he knows it. It is a direct violation of the Bible Word of God for a woman to stand and preach publicly in a worship service the Word of God. But they don't care about that. They disregard that, just like they do a lot of other passages of Scripture. And they make excuses because they think that the Holy Spirit that's working in them is against what the Holy Spirit says in the Word of God. And I don't believe that one minute. Next chart, please. The laying on of the apostles' hands, that's the only way that these gifts were ever given to anybody outside of the apostles in the house of Cornelius in all of the Bible. And that was the Jews and the Gentiles to bring them into the covenant, and they know that. Miraculous gifts were imparted by the laying on of apostles' hands, Acts 8. The purpose of these gifts was to confirm the word, perfecting the saints, ministering the saints, edifying the body. And the duration was till the will of God was completely revealed. I tell you tomorrow night, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10 is going to haunt that man as long as he lives. I'm setting him up for tomorrow night. I want you to be here and I want you to hear what the Bible says. Next chart, please. In 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, the Bible says those things that were in part, the partial gifts, the prophecies, the tongues, the knowledge, the oral word in those men and women, they didn't have a written word of God at that time. They had that which was in part. But when it was finished, then the written word was that word which guided the men and women of the 1st and 2nd and 3rd, 4th, 5th and 20th centuries. But these gifts ceased when that finished perfect will of God. Now, think about this. The Bible says they are going to cease. What does that mean? I know what it means, and He knows what it means. Faith, hope, and love are going to abide, but special revelation is going to cease. Faith and hope cannot abide after His coming. That which is in part must cease before the second coming of Christ. Next chart, please. I wish you'd pay attention to these charts, Mr. Hicks. Now, I didn't get through all of yours last night. Just get to some of these. That'll be fine. How many baptisms today? Well, in the Old Testament, there was the baptism of John and Jesus. Jesus was baptized because He was a Jew. And John was preaching to the Jews, and all Jews were subject under the word of the prophet. And he did it to fulfill all righteousness, not to become a Christian. Now, at the cross, the Bible says there was the baptism of the Jews, Acts 2, the baptism of the Gentiles, Acts 10. There were two baptisms there in Acts 2. The baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was two in the Gentiles, baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul wrote Ephesians 4, 1 through 5, he said, now, there's only one baptism. Tell me, friends, what is the one baptism? Well, it's the baptism that was commanded in the Great Commission. After 62 A.D., there was only one baptism for all believers for all time. New chart, please. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That one baptism is either water or spirit. Holy Spirit baptism is a promise. Are you listening? Acts 1. And He commanded them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. You talk about a professional dodge. This first debate I've ever been in publicly like this in my life. There's a man who has debated over the years over and over and over. You talk about a professional dodge. He knows that's not a command for Holy Spirit baptism. Holy Spirit baptism, Matthew 3 and 11, was to be administered by Jesus Christ. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else has ever done that. Nobody else ever will do that. But the thing that God commands men to do is water baptism. It's a command. It's ministered by men. It's for the remission of sins. It lasts to the end of the world. Next chart, please. How much time do I have? The signs of Holy Spirit baptized men. Did He touch it? Peter had the power of death. Paul made a man blind. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Paul picked up a serpent. Mr. Hicks, will you bring a serpent up here tomorrow night? You bring it up here and show these people that you don't mind picking up a snake. Bring up a glass of poison and set it right up there and say, now I'm going to drink this. I want you to know it because I don't mind practicing what I preach. Please. What is Hicks' sign? A sore throat. Next chart, please. The purpose of miracles, to prove the divinity of Christ, to confirm the preaching of the inspired men. Signs confirmed the oral word. Tongues were a sign to the unbelievers. Tongues were useful only to edify. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, 14 and 5, throughout the whole chapter, they were for the purpose that the Bible said. I'll challenge you right now, Mr. Hicks, to a contest of speaking in tongues. I can do it. You know I can do it. And it's by the Spirit. But you can't do it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that the spirits were in subjection to the prophets. They had those gifts. They weren't given and taken away and given and taken away like some spiritual yo-yo. They had them and they could do them. The word of truth delivered and confirmed in the first century. All signs, miracles, tongues were used to confirm the gospel message. They have ceased because the revelation, new revelation, has ceased. There isn't any more new revelation coming. Anything additional to this word that we have right here. I heard Marvin Hicks say in the Holy Spirit seminar in May out at the North Park Inn, he said in answer to a question that if man stands and he speaks in a tongue, someone interprets, and what the man interprets is different from what the Bible says, Mr. Hicks said, well, then you need to take it to the preacher and he can give the answer to the problem. I'll tell you what, you put two interpreters today, you know what you people never talk about interpretation. You all talk about speaking in tongues. And then you try to cover it up because it's the unknown tongue and it's not no more unknown than a man in the moon. The confirmed, inspired Word of God contains all miracles save the soul. Next chart, please. The perfect is that which was brought to completion, having attained the end, the complete faith revealed. What about it? Let me tell you something. If we don't have a complete revelation of God tonight, we've got an incomplete revelation, and we never know what something new might come and be added to it by any Tom, Dick, and Harry that claims to have the Holy Spirit. There's a man in Sunday's paper who's going to sue God. Sue the government, rather, and he said God told him to do it. Let's get that straight. Faith produces hope in Christ's coming. Love will remain forever. Next chart, please. How much time have I got? These signs shall follow them that believe. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. Drink deadly things. Heal the sick. Do these signs follow Mr. Hicks today? Is he a believer? I want to know something. Is he a believer? Does this man believe in God with all of his heart? Has he confessed that he believes Jesus Christ to be the Son of God to the glory of the Father? And then he retreats behind personal testimony. When Scripture and the power and force of logic through the Scripture triumph, modern faith healing and miracle advocates retreat behind the lines of personal testimony. Can't stand upon Bible truth, but will stand upon what they have felt, what they have experienced. 1 John 5 and 9, the Bible says, if we believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. It always has been. I tell you, any denomination today that preaches just simply some kind of a gospel that's all watered down with all kinds of philosophy and oration, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It takes the truth preached, the truth believed, and the truth obeyed to make one a Christian. Oh, we can't prove it by the Bible, but we can prove it by the host of witnesses. Let me tell you something, friends. Experience is never right when it contradicts scriptural truth. The measure or gauge of truth is not found in human experience, but in divine revelation. I want to read to you tonight from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. They had problems back then. There were some people who had some strange ideas. Jeremiah says, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed a dream. I've dreamed a dream. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Verse 32 is beautiful. It says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I tell you, I believe that it's time that somebody stand up in this community and raise a biblical voice against all of the experience and miracles that people are claiming to have. A man wrote me the other day and said, I don't believe in debating. Boy, if I held their position, I wouldn't either. To revert to personal testimony instead of biblical truth, this indicates a very weak cause. A majority vote of public sentiment can never sustain a false claim. For 2 hours, they stood in Ephesus and they stomped their feet and they clapped their hands and they shouted, Great is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And the majority ruled. That didn't make it right. I'm kind of like Acts 13. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? In Matthew 7, Jesus makes a statement that I believe we ought to look at. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's that word will again. Watch that word will. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I'd hate to be in that category of people in the day of judgment. Let me tell you something. There's no difference in the testimonies of faith healers and Christian scientists who say they have healings of all different kinds. And they lay blame on God when it doesn't happen because they say, well, God doesn't want me to do this because God hasn't given me this power today. Out here in some dark place or some sanctuary, they'll get the experience and they'll get the Holy Spirit and then they'll come out into the light and say, I have had this miracle. I can get more testimony from Alka-Seltzer and Carter's Little Liver Pills. The Jews testified Jesus was a sinner. John, leave that chart up there, please. Jews testified Jesus was a sinner. John 9. Jews contended that Jesus blasphemed God. Mark 2. The Jews testified that Jesus perverted the nation. Luke 23:2. And Jesus Christ was crucified on the strength of personal testimony. It's not worth a dime for a man to say, I have received this, unless you can back it up and demonstrate it. It's not worth one dime. It's easy. A lot of people get rich off of it, and I do not say that that's what this man does. I appreciate him for his stand in that particular vein. Not like Catherine Kuhlman, who has $2 million worth of goodies in her house, but she only makes $25,000 a year. Two minutes. I believe the Bible to be the inerrant, inspired Word of God. And I believe that if a man believes it and if he practices what it teaches, then he ought to be able to do what he says he believes. I believe that a man ought to be able to practice what he preaches, but this man cannot. And I charge him tonight that he can't do it simply because he knows God won't back him up in it. Next chart, please. When did miraculous gifts end? Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It shall fail, cease, vanish, abolish, wiped out, stop, leave off, desist, be abolished, wiped out. Next chart, please. The partial and every one of the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, friends, has to do with the Word. And when that Word was fully given, and when that Word was fully revealed, and when that will of God was fully known, then those things that were in part passed away, because when you got the full body, you don't need the parts, because they're all in the body of Revelation. Next chart, please. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, till we all come to unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Paul said, we. I believe Paul was led into a knowledge of the truth. I believe they had the truth in the first century. I believe that it was all fully revealed in the first century. And when it was fully revealed, I then think that it ceased those things that were in part.
I'd like to take care of a little business before we get too far in here. And this, of course, is consuming my time and within my right to do so. First of all, I would like to present here to this audience that there's a book available today, Miracles in Our Day, compiled by R.W. Johnson, a beautiful book that contains many, many miracles of healing ascertained and certified by our ministers and by the medical profession. Miracles are in existence today, and we have proved that by the Word of God. Now, Mr. Billingsley has denied the fact that our proposition states the Scriptures teach, and he has demanded a personal miracle. So we've come down to a fine line of our difference. He believes in miracles in the New Testament, that they were done away and no miracles today, and because Hicks will not perform one, therefore Mr. Billingsley says he is right. If I understand it right, that's where we've come to in this discussion. The truth of the matter is, I've proved to you that the gifts were not done away, that which is perfect was Jesus Christ, who had not come. I proved to you that Paul died 20 years before the perfect thing came. Now, you Church of Christ people, listen to this. Why didn't Mr. Billingsley touch that? See, he can't touch it, because he knew that the perfect thing was not the New Testament, but was Jesus Christ, because the Apostle Paul died 20 years before the New Testament was completed in writing. Now I see the good Lord wiping the smile off of some of your faces. That is the truth in Christ, and you need to hear that. Oh, I'll do the debating. You be quiet back there. All right, you've asked for a demonstration. All of you have received the Holy Ghost, and you know you have, and you've spoken in tongues. Would you stand to your feet? This looks like the Pentecostal side.
Mr. Blair?
About 2,000 stood here.
I'm going to rise to a point of order on that, because the rules to which both disputants agreed said they would not call for a demonstration. And we'll ask no one to
now,
do
wait
it.
A minute. Mr. Billings has been calling for one for two nights.
Wait a minute. The rules say the moderators will handle all points of order.
All right. Excuse me. I acquiesce.
All right. Mr. Glass, I believe we agree. I believe we agree that the rules did say that neither speaker would call for a demonstration. We just ask that the rules be observed.
Mr. Billingsley asked for a demonstration of power.
From Mr. Hicks, not from you all.
You're holding my time while they're arguing, aren't you? All right. Now we will continue, since that has been established. There's a book out, the Ramsey Hicks Debate. It's being sold in this discussion. I'd like to tell you that the Star Publishing Company has printed this book without my approval of the manuscript, which is a violation of our original agreement. There are some misquotations in here that someone someday will have to give an account for in a court of law. I'm glad we do have one of our Pentecostal attorneys with us from Louisiana here tonight to give me some advice on this. Page 115 of this book, I am quoted as saying, first, I won't deny that the Church of Christ that goes by the title is the Church of Christ. Hicks never said anything related to that. I've never made that statement in my life, and to see it printed in a book violates the procedure of our agreement with Johnny Ramsey. I just wanted to bring that out because the book has been brought here to this debate. Now, another thing that I want to discuss with you, and that talking about books, Brother Welch has some books. Isn't he a great fellow being with us as my moderator? He has books on Let Us Make Man and The Right Hand of God and The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. And these books are for sale, for you see him tonight, and buy one of his books. He's a great debater and a wonderful friend of ours, and we're delighted to have him here. Also, I would like to say that on the talk show we had with WFAA Dan Cutrier the other night, I was misquoted by Mr. Billingsley, and I received a letter that I'm writing in regards to the neuter singular in 1 Corinthians 13:10. Dan Billingsley's in a real trap on that one. He referred to Hebrews 10:9 and 10 to prove that the will of God completed by the death of Christ on the cross is the perfect. Then he has a problem because the Apostle Paul was setting in order the operations of the gifts in the church after the perfect had already come. I think that's a pretty nice rendition from a layman there. Here's another thing. I called Mr. Billingsley and asked him where I could get a set of tapes on the Woods debate. The tapes I ordered from United Sound in Houston did not have the incident of interpreting Guy Woods speaking in tongues in the manner in which the man spoke the other night on the radio. And Mr. Billingsley said, quote, I have the tapes and they are exactly like that. Mr. Billingsley tonight, or tomorrow night, rather, he can't come back tonight, but he will have to give an account for a misrepresentation on that fact. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Marvin Hicks never asked Guy Woods to give a message and that I would interpret his message. Dan Billingsley falsified that before 250,000 people the other night, and the man who called in falsified it. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you have the tape, I want to hear the tape where Marvin Hicks tried to interpret Guy Woods' message in tongues. You bring the tape. You said you would have it here. I want to hear it. I want to hear the tape where I tried to interpret Guy Woods speaking in tongues. All right. I don't want to be misquoted, and I don't want to be misrepresented. All right. Let us get now to the arguments at hand here. Arguments, I say, because that's what they are when he brought them out. First of all, Mr. Billingsley says, why doesn't Mr. Hicks heal himself? Now, I don't want to be unkind, but I think all of you Church of Christ people are ashamed of that position. I'm going to tell you why. There's not a United Pentecostal minister in the world who would laugh and make light of somebody who has a physical illness. And I want you to know that I personally don't appreciate that tonight. I take that as a personal insult. But the fact is, I can preach more truth with a sore throat than he can with a well one. So I've never claimed to be able to heal myself or anybody else. But I'll tell you one who can, and his name is Jesus, and I'm trusting in him tonight. All right, the UPC manual seemed to bother him, Mr. Hicks. When were they Christians? Were they Christians before they were Spirit baptized? Or were they Christians after they were Spirit baptized? We'll let Mr. Dan Billingsley be the judge. What about Acts 10? They had received the Holy Ghost. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard the word. Now Peter came down and commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you tell us, what was their situation and their spiritual status between the time they received the Holy Ghost and went out in the water? And Mr. Billingsley says you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Then what is the condition of a man who repents of his sins before he gets to the water? I'll let Dan Billingsley judge. I'm going to preach what God gave me to preach in a positive way. And I'll tell you, in spite of it, it still says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's more than you fellas have ever done. Besides that, if you need a little help on this, get Oscar Hill here tonight. He can help you. Oscar's here. He knows how to tell you when to be baptized. He's wrong on it, but he works with these fellas sometime. He switches from one side to the other. Now, Mr. Billingsley says, I want one sign. I don't ask for many signs. I want one sign. And Jesus said, a sign shall not be given save the sign of Jonah. So we'll give him the sign of Jonah. You can have the sign of Jonah. Now do you believe? We gave him the sign of Jonah. And by the way, Dan, don't leave Jonah's wife out, because when a man left house and he was gone for 3 days and came back, she said, where you been, honey? He said, well, got out there in the boat and got in the sea and this whale, and I got this thing going, you know, and they swallowed me and threw me up. And let's give Miss Jonah a little credit for believing that story. The sign of Jonah! He said that would convince him. So read the Old Testament. You have just as much a right to the sign of Jonah as anybody else. Then he wanted a demonstration. Now tonight, I could ask all of you, and don't do it because they'll stand and object. All of you have been healed by K
cancer. You've been healed of cancer, heart trouble, or some serious disease. I could get people to stand all over here to testify to it. Dan Billingsley would come out here and say, you're a liar. That's exactly right. People here have been healed by the power of God. Then he said, the very idea, there are tongue talkers who quit talking in tongues and went back. Now they're in the church of Christ. I'd like to meet you tonight, mister, and talk to you. You're in a serious spiritual state, and I can assure you of that, and I'm speaking that sincerely from my heart. All right? Then he said, if I could work a miracle. Now, Mr. Billington said if he could work a miracle, he would go out in every hospital. He would not stop. He'd heal everybody. Then we'd do away with the graveyards. And the scriptures say it's appointed to all men once to die, and not everybody is going to be healed. Besides that, the terminology these men use denote their absolute ignorance about our position. He said, if I could perform miracles, of course, if I could perform miracles, I would go out and do it. I am not a miracle worker. I pray for the sick in Jesus' name, and Jesus is the healer, and Jesus is the miracle worker. That's not about right, that is right. Thank you, Brother Welch, for coining that great phrase. All right, then he said Hicks read a funeral oration. Well, I appreciate the compliment. I had some notes here, but I was not reading that verbatim. But since he's judge and he knows everything when I'm reading and when I'm not, we'll let him resolve that in his own conscience and with his own mind. Then he said in Acts 2, Hicks can't prove that the women spake in tongues. Now, let's say the women prophesied. Will you accept that? Tell him what to say, Hires. You know as well as I know that prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible says your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And Joel said, this is that. And Peter confirmed it in Acts the second chapter. Now, Mr. Billingsley says, the women were not there. The Bible says the disciples went to the day of Pentecost and them that were with them. And the number of names together were about 120. But he said just the 12 apostles. Luke 24:33 says them that were with them. And being assembled together with them, Acts 2:4, he commanded them. I said that's not a commandment. Twist it all you want to, Mr. Billingsley, but the word commanded is still in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Would you stop playing with my sound system and turn up my volume, please? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence, and ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Verse 8, to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, just you 12 apostles, which also ye men of Galilee. Why stand ye gazing in the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come again in like manner. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together, about 120. I'm reading from Acts 2 and 1, rather, and verse 14 and 15. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Who? The disciples and them that were there with them, the names together, about 120, 12 apostles. That doesn't make sense, does it? And the Bible says when they gladly received his word, I brought out in my first negative tonight that Peter was the only preacher that preached at Pentecost. I substantiated that by Matthew 16 where he had been given the keys to the kingdom of God. I told you that they had gladly received his, Peter's word. not the others, but they received his word. What did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then Dan Billingsley says he has traveled the world over and he has never met a Camelite. Well, you ought to follow me around. I've met a lot of them. I'm going to tell you, I'm not charging you folks with something that you're not guilty of, but I'm going to prove to you where your church came from. He read from the manual. The church known by the Church of Christ today came from its origin on May the 4th, 1811 at Brush Run, Pennsylvania. In David Bryan's pasture, Alexander Campbell was its head and founder. It was started with 30 members instead of 120. First communion was held May 5th, 1811 at Brush Run, Pennsylvania, and it does not wear the name of Christ as it boasts of doing, and you know that that's the truth. All right, let's look a little more history here and find out where his church came from. Credible history teaches that the so-called Church of Christ was organized in 1827 by Alexander Campbell. The church he founded has been called with several titles: the Campbellites, the Disciples of Christ, the Reformers, the Christians, and the Church of Christ. The Encyclopedia Britannica, 9th edition, volume 4, page 391, Alexander Campbell, 1827, organized the church, which is variously called Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church, and the Church of Christ, and the Campbellites. I'm giving you what the history books say about you folks. That's not about right. That is right. That's where you came from. And when Matthias Luce, a Baptist preacher, baptized Campbell, that's one of the greatest things the Baptists ever did, because they gave me Dan Billingsley to debate tonight. At least he has more courage than Dr. W. A. Criswell. Dan Billingsley will stand up for what he believes, and I appreciate that courage in the man. All right. Then he said, I ignored his charts. When the truth of it is, I brought out the verses of his charts. Didn't necessarily have to flash them up on the screen because I know what he was going to say. Now, the tongue seminar, he mentioned that, and he said, Hicks says that if you speak in tongues and it's adverse to the scripture, then take it to the preacher and let him settle it. I deny saying anything related to that. You fellas better watch what you're quoting me on. I'm telling you, we're heading for some legal problems here. What I said was that preaching always transcends any of the gifts of the Spirit. And the preacher has a right to call order in the assembly when tongue speaking is out of order. I didn't say when there's a tongue that's adverse to the Bible, come and ask the preacher if that tongue is adverse to the Bible. If it's adverse to the Bible, the preacher's opinion wouldn't mean anything about it. It's what thus saith the Word of God. So he knows that's what I said. And so he read about himself in Jeremiah, said Hicks dreams false dreams and all that. Well, Dan Billingsley read about Dan Billingsley there. As far as I know, I'm not a false prophet because I believe in the name of the Lord. Now, for the time that I have left to establish this negative tonight, I want to show you some things that Mr. Billingsley did not deal with. First of all, only two accounts of Holy Spirit baptism. You are an intelligent audience. You people know that I brought out how John 7:38 and 39 was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Did Dan Billingsley touch it? No, not top side or the bottom of it. He didn't touch any part of it. Matthew 3:1, everyone John baptized in water, he gave them the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:4, I just brought out that they were there with 120, including women and the mother of Jesus. Acts 8:17, I brought out when they were spirit baptized, there was something there to see. Acts 10:44 and 45, they knew they had received the what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. Now the gift of the Holy Ghost of Acts 10:44 and 48 is the same gift of the Holy Ghost as Peter said in Acts 2:39, right? When he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost, though it is, but it calls it the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 10, with tongues, is also called the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you Church of Christ folks were baptized in water, did Mr. Billingsley bother with that? No. He didn't bother with the point that when you go down in the water, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He can't bother with that. He has to go off asking Hicks for a demonstration. It'd be better if he got into the book and found out what the Bible said about his false doctrine. All right, Acts 19, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Didn't I bring it out that they spoke in tongues in Acts 19? He says only in Acts 2 and Acts 10 were they spirit baptized, but not in Acts 19, because he said Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. And only by the laying on of hands of the apostles were the gifts given. Shame, 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 Mr. B. Ananias laid hands on Paul, and he received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Ananias never was an apostle. So down goes Mr. Billingsley's little paper tower. That's it. All right. How many remember me bringing out 1 Corinthians 12:13? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He says, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one water. I brought out Mark 16:16. He that believeth, these signs shall follow. Well, I see right now that we're going to have a good time here the next part of this debate, because tomorrow night I'm going to be in the affirmative on tongues, and he's going to have to follow me just like I followed him tonight. Now, he says Acts 2:38-39 is the non-miraculous gift. How many of you have ever heard these preachers talk about the ordinary measure of the Spirit? Or a non-miraculous gift? That's camel's doctrine. That's not Bible doctrine. Now, if you think I'm being ridiculous and you think you're so brilliant, why don't some of you people bring me the scripture that calls it a non-miraculous gift? I would like to read from the Bible the ordinary measure of the Spirit. You preach it. And you're supposed to speak where the Bible speaks and is silent where the Bible is silent. By the way, that verse came from the pen of the founder of your religion, Alexander Campbell. One thing you do is quote him anyway. All right. Now, Mr. Billingsley went to 1 Corinthians 14:2, and I'm answering his chart. He said that he can speak in tongues by the Spirit. You heard him say it, didn't you? That I can speak in tongues by the Spirit. He doesn't mean by the Holy Spirit. He meant by Mr. Billingsley's Spirit. Now, that's what he believes 1 Corinthians 14:2 is. I'm going to show you how utterly, ridiculously wrong he is. I'm showing Dallas how wrong Dr. Criswell is. I want to tell you something. Dr. W.A. Criswell does not speak the sentiments of most Baptist people. Most Baptist people do not believe speaking in tongues is idiotic and heretical and divisive. Now, look what Mr. Billingsley says. 1 Corinthians 14:2 is not a miraculous tongue. But the Bible said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Now, this is the third manifestation of tongues. He said, I challenge Hicks to prove it. Tomorrow night when I'm in the affirmative, one of my points will be the three manifestations of tongues. In fact, that will be point number one. I want to show you. He speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, here you go. Look at this, Mr. Billingsley. In the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, you say that's a natural tongue. You say that's an ordinary language. You have Dan Billingsley against the Bible. The Bible says he's doing it in the Spirit. And he's speaking mysteries. But if he speaks that way, what does he do? 1 Corinthians 14:4. He edifieth himself. And then 1 Corinthians 14:28. If there be no interpreter of this tongue, then what shall he do? Look at what it says. Let him speak to himself and to God. That's why Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues. He's speaking to himself and to his God. And Billingsley says he's speaking in a natural language. The Bible says, and no man understands him, for he's speaking in the Spirit. Mysteries! I'm going to take what the Bible says. I'm going to deny what Dan Billingsley says. All right, the Spirit baptism is not promised to everybody. Deity says, he that believeth, John 7:38 and 39, everybody that believes has the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I will come unto you, John 14:18, Jesus Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. With you forever, John 14:16, how long? To the end of the world. Now, the false church says that God gives the Spirit a measure. Unscriptural terms is miraculous measure, or non-miraculous measure, an ordinary measure. But the true church obeys the Bible. John 3:34 says, he giveth not the Spirit the measure. Don't look it unto him, because that's in italics there and was added by the translators. All right. Alexander Campbell of 1 Corinthians. Campbell says, there are no spiritual gifts today. Once confirmed, always confirmed. 1 Corinthians 1, I'm going to stitch it tight here now where Dan Billingsley can't get out of it. He says, once it's confirmed, it's always confirmed. Do you know that 1 Corinthians 1:6, Paul said to the church at Corinth, the testimony of Christ, which was confirmed in you, notice, was confirmed. Then verse 7 says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows the gifts are to be in the church until Christ comes again. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:6 said that the testimony of Christ was confirmed. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says that he will confirm you unto the end. So you have a confirmation after a confirmation. That's why we still have healings and signs and miracles and spirit baptism today. Friend, I'm backing it up by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe that book of Corinthians was for the church today, look at 1 Corinthians, first chapter and verse 2. And it'll show you why the church of Christ do not have these miracles and gifts. It says, to all in every place that call on the name of the Lord. That excludes those of you who fight the name of Jesus. All right? Man of Paul. Man says, when that which is perfect is come, it is the complete New Testament. But then I brought out nobody in all of America, yea, all of the world, has been able to answer this. And I'm not reading this, Dan Billingsley. I feel my Holy Ghost right now. Paul says, then shall I know. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. Then shall I know. And yet I brought out, ladies and gentlemen, that he died 20 years before the New Testament was completed in writing. I submit to you the fact that Paul did not live to see the completed New Testament, yet he said, then shall I know, proves that it could not have been referring to the New Testament, but was referring to that which is perfect in Jesus Christ. That which is in part is this human nature. We have eyes, we have ears, we have voices to speak, but in that day, thank God, when that which is perfect has come, we'll need no supernatural knowledge, for we shall know as we are known, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what Paul looked forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to. All right, then shall I know. And yet Paul died 20 years before the New Testament was completed in writing. All right, Mr. Billingsley says no tongues today. Why? Because I can't understand the languages. The Bible says, he that speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He says, Hicks, I want to see a miracle. I told him Jesus did not turn the rocks into bread for the devil. I proved that Jesus did not mighty works among the people because of their unbelief. And he said he's not seeking a sign, for he said he doesn't believe he'll see one. And if I brought every credible testimony documented in every conceivable manner to this podium tonight. You know what Dan Billingsley will say, just what he said on the talk show the other night to 250,000 people? If I saw it documented by medical evidence, I would accept it as a natural phenomenon and not a miracle. And then he has the gall to get up here and say, I want to see Hicks perform a miracle. And if he saw one, he would say, it was a natural phenomenon. I'm going to turn him over to Jeannie Dixon. All right. Man says tongues are not for the church today. But the Apostle Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:39. Yea, this great man even said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And Mark 16:17 says, he that believeth. Now, Mr. Billingsley believes he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the scriptures say, he that believeth shall speak with other tongues or with new tongues. Didn't it say it? Do you believe? Do you believe, Mr. Billingsley? If you believe, if you just say you believe, I'm about ready to come over there and lay hands on you tonight. You'll never be any closer to the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you just believe. God's right here. I feel His presence right now. Thank God. There are miracles here tonight. I feel an atmosphere of the miraculous tonight. Where's my poison? Give me my poison. Did you bring it? Well, he's an unbeliever, isn't he? Go get it. Send somebody to get me some. Hurry! My time's about gone! Don't be like Guy Woods. Said the crazy thing will drink it. So bring it. At least Guy Woods was honest about it. Who's the unbeliever now? All right. Forbid not to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than you all. He that believeth shall speak in tongues. Dan Billingsley, do you use Mark 16:16 and 17 for your authority to baptize people for the remission of sin? In order for them to be saved, they have to go down in water. Sure you do. Then you stop right there. And it says, if you believe, you shall speak in tongues. The scriptures say, 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire spiritual gifts. Now here is the clincher. 1 Corinthians 1:7, no preacher in all the world has been able to answer this in the light of no tongues today doctrine. Listen, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting unto the coming of Jesus Christ. What authority do you gentlemen use for the Lord's Supper? Of course, you take the Lord's breakfast in the morning, but we'll let you get by with that. What authority do you use? Some of you are disfellowshipping those who use the glass because Jesus said the cup. Well, you need to come to the unity of the faith. I know a place where the sinners believe the standards are going to hell. Church of Christ believes you take communion, stand, and you're lost, and others believe you sit down, and you're lost. You folks need to come to the unity of faith. That's why you have evangelists. You say, I don't have pastors. We don't have apostles and prophets and teachers. What do we have? We have evangelists. Do you know what the evangelists are for? According to Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, what do you evangelists preach? Why do you even have evangelists? Elders, you ought to fire every one of them. You're already perfect. The Bible's here. You don't need these evangelists. Make them go to work. Put them out of a job. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then let me give you another confirmation. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, the Bible says, despise not prophesying, quench not the Spirit, that your body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I prove beyond any shadow of a doubt tonight that that perfect thing is the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. I prove that Paul died 20 years before the New Testament was completed in writing. Therefore, the gifts are for us today. The signs and wonders are still in operation today. Thank you so much for listening to my final speech on this subject tonight.
The following is the first speech of the last night, and the subject is the tongues question.
We welcome all of you who are here tonight. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, Jehovah Witnesses, we don't care who you are, we welcome you too to repent of sin and be baptized in Jesus' name and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. And so I want to thank my brethren who have helped so beautifully in this discussion, our dear brother Glass from Sherman, our esteemed brother Welch from Pensacola, Florida, and brother McNeely, our timekeeper. These have been great friends and we appreciate them through the years. Also, the Church of Christ friends who have come to me and some nice things you've said. I don't agree with you, Mr. Hicks, but I believe you're sincere, and I believe what you're saying is what you believe to be the truth, and we appreciate that. Then the ex-Pentecostal that I talked to last night was quite a revelation. I asked to speak to him, and I asked him if he had received the Holy Ghost. He said, "They told me so." I said, "That's not what I want to know. Did you receive it?" He said, "I believed it were so." I said, "That's not what I ask you. Did you speak in tongues?" He said, "No." I said, "Don't ever say you're an ex-Pentecostal again. You have to speak in tongues before you're Pentecostal. So don't use that anymore, that they're ex-Pentecostals." However, a ex-Church of Christ preacher just told me that he's here to give testimony tonight that God has filled him with the Holy Ghost. So he's here tonight to give his testimony if we need it. Now, I appreciate those of you who have seen the truth in this discussion, and in your community you will find, I'm sure, a United Pentecostal Church after this debate, and be baptized in Jesus' name, and lift up your hands and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I go immediately to the proposition under consideration tonight. First, the Scriptures teach, and here again tonight, I shall hold my respected opponent to what the Bible teaches, not what Marvin Hicks can or cannot do. Now, last night he said he was not a sign seeker, and within 5 minutes after he said that, he said, "Show me just one sign." And here's a man who says he is not a sign seeker and then demands a sign in the same debate. Oh, consistency, thou art a Jew. It must be tragic to be as confused and bewildered as the Churches of Christ preachers are this week in Dallas. Now, secondly, that the Holy Spirit baptism, by Holy Spirit, I do not mean the preached word that as bushels of New Testaments fall on the hearers and knock the people cuckoo and they speak an unintelligible word. One may receive the word, Acts 8, and not have the Spirit. So down goes another of Campbell's teachings. Nor do I mean by Holy Spirit baptism a holy person falling upon believers, but Holy Spirit, as the Spirit hath not flesh and bones, and a person cannot be poured out. So we affirm the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God according to John 4:24 and according to Joel 2:28. I have repeatedly tried to get my opponent to look at Joel 2:28 and explain how the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God in this debate. So far he has not touched it. Perhaps he will tonight. By baptism I mean the same that happened to the Pentecostal multitudes in Acts 2. The same that happened to the Gentiles in Acts 10. And each experience was with miraculous tongues and was called, now notice, the gift of the Holy Ghost. A receiving of the Holy Ghost, and in Acts 19, the receiving of the Holy Ghost was also with tongues. And ladies and gentlemen, 20 million people today have claimed to have been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken with tongues. I do not say that all of them have, but I say they have claimed to have, and many of them have received the real experience. Evidence, number three, by speaking with tongues. By this I mean in a language unknown to the speaker and a distinct tongue from the gift of tongues, which always demanded an interpretation. And I say this because no interpretation was called for in the book of Acts, for in that record people were being spirit baptized in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19. Now the final part of my proposition will state this, is for the church today and will continue until the end of the church age. And by this I mean the mystical body of Christ is to have all of its parts, members, 1 Corinthians 12, until the coming of Christ for His church. That's why Mr. Billingsley is all mixed up in this debate. He quotes from a UPC manual, and we do not believe that's a Bible from heaven. We believe the organization is a tool in the hand of the body. The organization of the United Pentecostal Church is not the body of Christ.
The body of Christ consists of all believers who have repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you could no more, and listen to this, the church is not an organization. The church is an organism, and an organism is a body. And you could no more cut your hand off, or your foot off, or pluck out your eye with good sense, as you could take away one of the gifts, which is a member of the full body of Christ today in this earth. All right, let's look at the questions now that Dan Billingsley has asked Marvin Hicks. Number one, why is the word unknown in italics in 1 Corinthians 14:2? Well, we'll just say that we'll eliminate the word unknown and see what that does for Dan Billingsley. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, for no man understandeth him. Now, what difference does it make? He's still speaking mysteries, and he's speaking to God, and the Bible still says no man understands him. So, put unknown there, take it away. We accept it either way. Number two, can one become a Christian and be in full fellowship with Christ who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That is in reference to the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Number three, does Holy Spirit baptism produce the same demonstrations in your work that it did in the work of the apostles? We have speaking in tongues today, but I say and insist again that we see these miracles and have these experiences as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Mr. Billingsley comes out here, he says, show me a sign. I challenge Mr. Hicks to do a miracle. He's not challenging me. He's challenging the Spirit of God. My position in this debate is that I can't do a thing, but God can. So if he has a case to present tonight, let Mr. Billingsley challenge the Spirit of God tonight. Because I'm willing to speak in tongues if God is. And we speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Number five, are the spiritual gifts still in part when we have received the perfect, complete will of God in the New Testament? You do not have the perfect, complete will of God in the New Testament without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and without the spiritual gifts. And so just because we expect to see better in heaven, we don't gouge out our eyes down here. Just because we expect to know as we're known in heaven, we don't blow our brains out down here. We use what we have here until that which is perfect is come, which is Jesus. And then we shall know as we are known. And then we'll all speak the superlative language of heaven. And in that great day, tongues will cease. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me establish some affirmative points here as we begin to explain the great controversy that has shaken Dallas, Texas. First, do men speak in tongues today? Speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Ghost in languages never learned by the speaker and usually not known by the listener. It has absolutely nothing to do with linguistic ability or with the mind or the intellect of a man. When a person is speaking in tongues, his understanding is inactive, but the Spirit of God is active, functioning through the organs of speech. Jesus himself promised, he started this tongues business. If you don't like tongues, Mr. Billingsley, don't blame Hicks, blame Jesus. He said, he that believeth shall speak with tongues. Mark 16:16. He started the whole business. So I've had nothing to do with it. I'm just perpetuating the doctrines that he began and the things that he brought to us. Now, the second point I want to make after explaining tongues is that there are three manifestations of tongues. Dan Billingsley denied this on the talk program over WFAA. He denies it in this discussion. I shall prove it now conclusively. First, at spirit baptism, one speaks in tongues. In Acts 2:4, when they received the Holy Ghost and were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. Secondly, in Acts 10:46, how did the Jews know that the Gentiles had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues. Not one time, Mr. Billingsley, not one time, ladies and gentlemen, in the entire book of Acts was there an interpretation called for. Which means that the initial evidence of tongues at the reception of the Holy Spirit baptism is different in administration and in operation than the gift of tongues in the church. The Apostle Paul, in writing to govern tongues in the church, was not referring to the tongues spoken when one receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The second manifestation of tongues is the gift of tongues in the church. This is in 1 Corinthians 14. This is why the question is asked. Do all speak with tongues? Of course, all in the church have received the Holy Ghost. All have spoken in other tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. But the same verse says, do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? It's speaking about the gift of tongues, separate and distinct manifestation of tongues from the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:5, teaching that the gift of tongues in the New Testament church is predicated, the value of which is predicated upon the interpretation. And the Bible says in verse 5, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Then you men stop there. But it goes on to say, except he interpret. So when the interpretation is given, it changes the value of tongues and makes it a valuable gift to the church, just like healing and miracles and all the others. All right, baptism of the Holy Ghost is doctrine, and it's scripturally commanded today. Matthew 3:11, John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, that was not just the 12 apostles. It was not just 120, but they came to John's baptism from Judea, Samaria, Capernaum, and all of Jerusalem turned out to his baptism. He baptized multitudes. And everyone John baptized had the promise of the Holy Ghost and fire. You say, fire? Yes, fire. Take it the way you want to. Whether it's the Pentecostal fire with cloven tongues, whether it's a burning flame of the Spirit rolling through a powerful Pentecostal meeting with the inception of the Spirit, or the fire of judgment as burning the chaff and those who do not have the Holy Ghost. We win either way you want to take it. If you want to say it's the fire of God, we believe God is a consuming fire. If you want to say it's the judgment of God, then we believe if you don't have the Holy Ghost baptism, you'll have the fire. The fire of judgment. All right? John 7:38 and 39 teaches that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is promised to everybody that will believe on Jesus Christ as the Scripture has said. In this debate, Mr. Billingsley has agreed that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is included in John 7:38 and 39. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe he's too blind to see it, but I think many of you will see it, that if John 7:38 includes it, then the very verse is prefaced by saying, he that believeth on me as the Scripture has said. So, are you in that number? If you believe like the Bible say, you too can receive the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:4-5 describes this. Then Acts 2:38, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now I'll tell you how you can tell a truth preacher and a false preacher. If the multitudes cried out, if a convicted sinner tonight were to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what Dan Billingsley would say? He'd say, repent and be baptized in water, in the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then when you're in the water, you get the Holy Ghost, but you won't talk in tongues. Now that's what Dan Billingsley would say. But ask a Bible preacher, what must we do? And he would say, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I submit to you tonight that the birth of the Spirit of John 3:5 is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a commandment, Acts 1:4. And I believe Mr. Billingsley will agree that the birth of water in John 3:5 is water baptism. If birth of water, there is water baptism. Birth of Spirit is Spirit baptism. How can he take one and reject the other? Our contention is that there's one baptism, but it has to have water and Spirit to be complete, just as there's one birth and has to have water and life to be complete. All right? Let's go to another point for consideration here. I want to establish this. I want my opponent to deal with it tonight. First of all, the same analogy between Acts 2 and Acts 10. Do you realize that Acts 10 has never been called in the Scripture the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's called the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yet they spake with tongues. And Peter said this is the same thing as hell on us at the beginning. And then Billingsley says that at the beginning was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
I submit to you that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost are one and the same identical experience. And wherever it happened, they spake with other tongues. All right. Now he says just the 12 apostles received the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Let's see about that. Acts 1:4, these all continued with the women, just the 12 apostles. With Mary, the mother of Jesus, just the 12 apostles. Acts 1:15, the number of names together, about 120, just the 12 apostles. Acts 2:1, they were all with one accord in one place, just the 12 apostles. Acts 2:6, the multitudes came together, just the 12 apostles. Acts 2:17, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, just the 12 apostles. Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Just the 12 apostles. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, just the 12 apostles. For the promise is unto you 12 apostles, to all your 12 apostle children, and all that are far off, just the 12 apostles, even as many 12 apostles as our Lord, our God, shall call. And when they gladly received His word, whose word? Not the 11 apostles with Peter, but the men that had been given the keys in Matthew 16 and told them what to do. When they gladly received His word, they were added them 3,000 12 apostles that day. I like that for logic. Now, the next point I want to present is that we're living in the last days. Mr. Billingsley takes this position. We are not in the last days. I cannot imagine anybody that would say these are not the last days. He's quite an inventor. He has come up with something later than the last days. He's like the little girl when the clock stuck and rang 12, 13, 14. She ran down the hall and said, Mommy, wake up! It's later than it's ever been. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Billingsley. You better wake up! It's later than it's ever been. I ask you what Paul asked those Ephesians. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you got it, when did you get it? Where did you get it? How did you get it? And what happened to you when you received it? I demand to know that. You're obligated to answer it tonight. All right, Jesus said the judgment would come in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. Is that time come where there are perilous times upon the earth? The Antichrist will come in the last time. 1 John 2:18. Are we living in the last days or not? Mr. Billingsley says no. He says the dispensation of the last days are over, as prophesied by Joel, and fulfilled in the days of the Bible. So these are not the last days. So he's got these days, beginning another dispensation or something. We'll see how he untangles that when he comes back here. Now, Mr. Billings' position on tongues insults the intelligence of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Then Paul said in verse 12, then shall I know. This word then meant there would be a time when Paul was to fully know. And his knowledge would be so full, complete, that it could not be added to. And if this meant the New Testament he would fully know, Paul preached fragmentary truths and died deceived into believing that he would know the full New Testament, because I submit to you he died 20 years before the New Testament was completed in writing. That's exactly the teaching of the Bible. Now, Mr. Billingsley's position against tongues tells me this. When the miracles and other healings establishes the churches, like the scaffolding around the superstructure, the scaffolding is removed, but the building stays. Well, the Bible says the Word establishes churches. Acts 20:32. Has the Word ceased? The Bible says love establishes churches. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Has love ceased? The Bible says that Christians may help establish other Christians. Have Christians ceased? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Mr. Bales of the Church of Christ says today we establish local congregations by preaching the gospel. So your gospel should preach the confirmation of the faith that is in your heart. Now, let's talk about the word confirmed. All I need to do tonight to establish my proposition that the baptism of the Holy Ghost as far as today is to prove that confirmation is in individuals. Thank you. And there is a confirmation after a confirmation. Or, as I teach, a continuing confirmation. I prove this, ladies and gentlemen, by 1 Corinthians 1:6. The testimony of Christ was. You Church of Christ folks never heard that till this week. But the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Then, so that you come behind in no gift. How long? Waiting until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 8 says, that He might confirm you unto the end.
So you have a confirmation that was, and you have a confirmation that will be, which tells me, without any equivocation, that the confirmation in unreached land where the gospel is preached, the word of God is still confirmed with signs following, and with that which is perfect is come, then we won't need that which is in part today. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 13:10 again, before we go to our charts for just another moment. The Bible says that prophecy shall fail. The Bible says that tongues shall cease. The Bible says that knowledge shall vanish away. Yet Revelation 11:3 says, the witnesses shall prophesy. Daniel 12:4 says that knowledge shall be increased. 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues. When will these things cease? When that which is perfect is come. When the telos, or the end of the age, is here. And when Jesus comes, we will not need these gifts of the Spirit. I submit to you, if you abolish the acorn, you do away with the oak. If you abolish the child, you eliminate the man. What I'm trying to say is, done away means that we're living in a time where we're striving for that perfection. And when Jesus comes again, we'll not need tongues or healings or gifts or miracles, because that which has been known in part will have passed away. And we shall know as we are known. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, ladies and gentlemen. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I want to do another thing here about the word edify. There are three manifestations of the Spirit as I brought out. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, tongues, the personal communion, tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, and the gift of tongues in the church. This is to edify. Now listen, don't laugh at this. Listen, I'm giving you the book. I've given you folks about 49 scriptures, and you sit there and laugh about it. You can laugh about it, but you can't laugh about the book. I'm telling you tonight what the book says. Don't take my word for it. You take what the book says. As late as June, let me tell you something. We are told to build yourselves up in the faith, praying in the Spirit. This praying in the Spirit, Paul says, is praying in tongues. You don't believe that? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. Meaning, I will sing in tongues and I will sing with my understanding. I will pray in tongues and I will pray with my understanding. That is the teaching of the Word of God. And finally, I'm telling you, the confirmation is to be unto the end. And this is our blessed hope, that God is still confirming His blessed, holy, wonderful Word with signs following. Now, we're going to turn to the charts and go over them briefly before we conclude our first affirmative tonight. We have talked night after night about rightly dividing the Word of God. Give me a little more volume, please, on the mic, if you will. There are three divisions of the New Testament. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do we find here? The life of Christ, no church established in Matthew 16. Jesus said, I will build. No church, the understanding was limited. Luke 24 says, then opened he, the apostles, understanding. All right? No spirit baptism in the four Gospels. Then what are Romans through Revelation? They're letters that were written to churches that were already established, that had been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Letters to the churches of the saints. No church was founded in the epistles. Tells you how to be faithful, and reviews how they were saved. The book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, is the only book that tells you how to get in the church. And that book tells you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Matthew 28:19 was fulfilled in Acts 2, verse 4 through 38. Now, Mr. Billingsley versus the Bible, his position that only two accounts in the Bible are spirit baptism, Acts 2 and Acts 10, versus John 7:38-39, Matthew 3:11. See, this is here. He should contend with them tonight. Acts 2:4, Acts 8:17. I'm not asking that he come to the chart. I'm just asking that he deal with the scriptures as I have done his. Acts 10:44, they knew that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now, Mr. Billingsley, that is called the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 10. And it was the same as fell on the apostles and others in the beginning. All right, how much time? All right, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I want him to come up here and tell us tonight, is that water or is that Spirit? And then I'm asking Mr. Billingsley to tell you, I want him to walk over there to that podium, look you right in the face, and tell you, according to Mark 16, are you a believer or are you not? If you're a believer, I want you to speak in tongues. Mark 16, 17 says he will. Mark 16, 16 and 17 says he will if he believes. So let's see if he does. Now he's wanting me to speak in tongues. Now I want Dan Billings like this. He says he can in the Spirit, but it won't be in the Spirit of God, I'll tell you that, unless he repents. Now, Billings says you received the gift of the Holy Ghost at water baptism. Alexander Campbell, and you folks got all upset at me last night because I called you Campbellite. I want to tell you, I didn't bring that out in this discussion until Dan Billingsley got a manual out here and tried to leave the impression that we believe that was the Bible, the Word of God. And then when he tried to hook us up as starting in 1914, Dan Billingsley knows as well as I know that the church I'm a member of did not start in 1914. It started on the day of Pentecost. And Dan Billingsley will get up here and tell you that the church he's in didn't start in Brush Run, Pennsylvania, but started on the day of Pentecost. So every time you refer to the manual, I'll associate you with the Campbellites. Besides that, I don't appreciate you disowning the leader of your religion. Your people out there got a great deal of respect for Campbell. I do too. I appreciate a man that'll admit what he is and find his own right flag. Now, the Samaritan, Acts 8:15, got the water first and then the Spirit. Gentiles, Acts 10. The Holy Ghost first, and then the water. And then Ephesians, Acts 19, the water first, and then the Spirit.